When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Dubon trying to find that same spot. Marcana will have time. No, he won't. That's a fair ball. Chaz McCormick heading to third. He's going to be waved around. The Astros have tied the game up on a Doobie double. Doobie.
Doobie, do it.
Mauricio Dubon chipped in last night as the Astros rallied from down 3-0. For a 4-3 win against the Kansas City Royals, they take 2 of 3 against Kansas City before they take on, up next, the hated Texas Rangers. I feel like we got to go back in time, Sean, and we got to remember one of our favorite moments with Mauricio Dubon. I don't even remember what the context was for this. I just remember Julia Morales was on the call, and the way that she says Doobie do it is better than Jeff Blum saying Doobie
do it.
I don't know what it is. There's just something about it. It's awesome. I love it. And Doobie did do it last night.
Doobie do it.
Oh yeah. As did Jeremy Pena. Jeremy Pena. Doobie do it. Fantastic night. Last night for your Houston Astros. By the way, just a side note, a side tangent as we wait to hear from Jeremy Booth. Guys, what is it about our country that we have allowed 4 American professional sports teams to violate our Constitution with the glorification of non-democracies? What the hell's up with that? The Kansas City Royals, excuse me, the Royals, the Meghan Markles, the Prince Harrys, you serious? The Sacramento Kings? Ugh, what? What are we doing? The Los Angeles Kings? Ew! LeBron James' nickname is King James? Like, what? When did we green light this? I thought I was born in the USA, and we've got 4 teams that are glorifying monarch culture. Everyone's mad about the Native American teams. Everyone's mad about teams that feature animals that kill people from time to time. But where, oh, where are the people holding up signs? Where is the outrage for people who are looking at the Royals and the Kings of the world and saying, no more. I mean, we fought a revolution to be done with this. And I think that the general reception to now suddenly royal and not star from the television show Suits, Meghan Markle. Like, I think we've kind of made it known. Like, yeah, we don't do this. We don't do this here. We do have some weirdos who are obsessed with the royals and stuff. But, I mean, what is up with this in our country? What are you, a Tory? Yeah, that's a slur. It should be. That's what it used to be, the terminology for all those who were loyal to the King of England back in the Revolutionary War. Get this. About a third of the colonists were Tories. About a third wanted a revolution. And a third were like, I'm just going to sit off to the side. Anyway, hate it. Absolutely hate it. Virginia Buttonweed says, Paul going to tell us he hates two princes. Is that by the Spin Doctors? It's a good song. But it's glorifying monarch culture. I wouldn't call somebody by their title, Prince, Duke. F that. You're a man, just like me. I think it's weird that we have titles for our politicians. President, senator, congressman, mayor. I think it's weird. I think it's weird that we give out honorary doctorates. I think a lot of things are weird, including myself, because I've been going off on this tangent for a while. Yeah, I don't like that. What are we doing with this obsession that we have with royals? Prince, the artist, a little different. He's so good as an artist, fine, I'll allow it. And I suppose with LeBron James, you could say the same thing. But LeBron should call himself Prince. How about that? Why King? We should not allow anything higher than a prince in our country. You're welcome for this tangent as I filibuster, hoping that we would get to talk to Jeremy Booth.
Reports from the Booth camp, and that means Joe texting him, is that he got his time zones crossed, so he'll be available in like 2 more minutes.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's push this to 1:15.
Yeah, he had to move some things around.
Okie dokie. That's fine. Anyway, Thomas C.H. comments, Paul, you got a point. I thought this was America. Yeah. What the heck's going on? On the Twitch, Virginia Buttonweed brings up the Twitcher at Queen Bee Spice. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that kind of thing. You know how much America hates monarchies? We ended one in Hawaii and then just took it over. Actually happened.
Is that because we hate monarchies or we wanted Hawaii?
No, we're just showing them democracy.
Okay.
Showing them democracy.
Wow. That was pretty close to Japan over here.
Yeah, that one's a little sketch. It's a little sketch. And then, like, Maui burns down and we don't do anything about it. Whoops. Our bad. Our bad, everybody. 713-780-3776 to call to text. From the 832, Paul, has anyone asked you to talk hockey yet today? No, thank God. Thank God.
Oh, yeah. What's going on with the Stars? Our Stars.
I don't know.
The state of Texas' Stars.
From the 747, don't forget about the WNBA team, the Monarchs. I don't think they exist anymore. I don't think they exist. Sacramento Monarchs were a professional basketball team based in Sacramento, California. They played in the WNBA from 1997 through 2009. And then, bye-bye, the way of the dodo bird. From the 228, Paul Gallant standing for the Patriots. That's true. The team I root for fought against tyranny and oppression. The most American team nickname that there is. And everyone talks about America's team being the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know about that. Joining us right now on the HRNP listener line, the one, the only, our front office insider, Jeremy Booth, with the Astros having put 2 wins together. They're 2 games above 500. They've had a couple of clutch wins all of a sudden. And no one, Jeremy Booth, has looked better than a man who shares your name, Jeremy Pena. He had 4 hits last night. Question, is he the Astros' best player right now?
Yeah, I don't know if he's the Astros' best player, but we've talked about how positioning players for success over time is going to bear out, right? I mean, you know, ultimately, getting away from the, I don't know, let's call it paralysis analytics and getting guys in spots where they're not successful hurts the entire club. Alvarez hitting second last year, as an example, something we saw, you know, pretty consistently. Now, you've got a system that's starting to work where guys are thriving. You have to keep riding that, and you'll see the best in the entire club.
It's really working out. Yesterday, Joe Espada was asked if he expected Pena to look like this in the leadoff spot, and he said that he has exceeded expectations. It's only a couple of weeks sample size, but we're talking about a guy who's pushing around 400 from a batting average perspective since then. And we have talked a lot about lineup structure, Altuve volunteering to get out of that leadoff spot. Why do you think it is that Pena has been better in this spot than he was in other spots of the lineup?
Well, it's comfort. I mean, comfort is so important from a player's perspective and undervalued, quite frankly, in analytical lens. When you look at a guy like Pena, who is a speed player, who is a defensive player, a gold glove winner at different points, a former MVP, and a guy that drives on four-seam pitches for power, when you're able to put a guy in that spot ahead of a guy like Altuve and Alvarez and other guys that are more feared hitters, going back to the same thing we talked about with Alex Rodriguez with the Mariners years ago, they're going to have success. And putting him in the one spot and see success now, for Joe to be surprised if that surprises me. We talked about putting him second since he got out of that spot, right? Putting him back into that in the tool. And now in the one spot with Altuve sacrificing for his comfort level, putting himself further in the lineup to get more runs on the board, that's why you're seeing the results.
We're seeing the results from Pena, that's for sure. Jeremy Booth with us. He is our Astros front office insider here at ESPN Houston. You can also catch him on the Extra Bases with Bristol and Booth baseball podcast and on KHOU talking about baseball. So we have not had the best news on the injury front for the Houston Astros pitching staff to open the year. And before we inevitably get to Lance McCullers, I do want to talk about some of the injuries that they're currently dealing with. Who knows when we'll see Spencer Arrighetti back out there. And to make matters worse, this was mentioned in passing last night on the Astros broadcast that it seems that Hayden Wesneski could potentially miss the rest of the year. So right now you got a rotation that at the top, if Framber Valdez stays as good as he has been the last couple of starts, and if Hunter Brown keeps on doing what he's done for the last year, you feel good about your 1-2. And Ronald Blanco's seeming to settle back into the same form that he was in last year, at least to begin the year. But there's definitely some questions about the depth of the rotation. I don't think they would have brought up Colton Gordon and DFA'd Taylor Scott otherwise and put him in there for a spot start, and A.J. Bluejaw making spot starts as well. Are you concerned about the Astros starting rotation right now?
I'm concerned about the Astros starting rotation all year. And they're talking about the guys that we mentioned, Valdez and Brown and Blanco, even coming out of spring training. We talked about where they would settle, how they would form that 1-2-3, what was going to happen in 4 and 5 was always a question. I'm not Arrighetti for me. Look, we go back and forth. He's earned his position. Whether that plays out long term, he'll determine that. When it comes to Wisniewski, jury's still out for me. You know, I get it, but the jury's still out. And the guys that are in AAA that can come up, they're supposed to fortify the bullpen. They're not supposed to fortify the rotation. When you're putting the inevitable, where you know where I'm going with this, Paul,
yeah,
you put the inevitable Lance McCullers back in the rotation, you're screaming, we don't have him starting pitcher. He's not a starter. He hasn't been a starter. I understand he has the ability to take the ball for the first pitch of the game. That doesn't make him a starting pitcher. And when you do that type of, let's call it scramble. You have to have a scramble with your 4 and 5 spots. It tells you you don't have anything there beyond those three.
Speaking of Lance McCullers, let's go there. So he stunk on Saturday. He was awful, and that became a side discussion to the death threats that his family received after the game. And baseball's looking into that. You know, the Houston Police Department also looking into that. But no hiding what happened on Saturday, where he's chased after 7 runs in just a third of an inning of work. What does that mean for you, Jeremy, as far as his return? I mean, I think that growing pains, expecting those were natural as he comes back from not having pitched in a couple of years. Like, it's probably going to take him some time to get into any form, whether it's as a starter or in the bullpen. But does that start have you worried about how he'll look, period, not just as a starter or reliever?
No, it has me worried about him being a starter. He hasn't been a starter since 2010. He's not a starter. We're just going to blanket that. I've been on record with that for years. And he continues to prove it. And if we didn't realize that when he came back in 22, then we're just not going to realize it. At some point, you look at the Astros organization and you say, and I hate to say this because I love Dana and I love the guys over there now as far as people making decisions. And I had a good relationship with James Clark, who's now with Toronto. When you look at Lance McCullers and if he's telling you he's going to pitch, you're letting him down. He needs to be in the bullpen in the seventh inning, turn the lineup over once, be a guy that can fill a number of roles when needed because he pitches every fifth or sixth day somehow. And if you're going to run him out there a second to start and throw 95 and hold up and do those things again and again and again, it's not going to happen. You need to be in a role where you have somebody behind him consistently. So I actually blame the organization for what happened with him in the start. I don't blame Lance because the organization's one writing the check, and they're the ones that have to turn around and say, hey, man, look, this isn't going to happen anymore in this spot. Moving beyond that, I'd say, look, you and I have had these conversations off camera, and we've had these conversations off the air. The Houston, some people in the Houston landscape have a very interesting interpretation of what it means to have access to people and what it means to cause some turmoil. I went through it myself with a couple of other members of the media. You're aware of that. And at one point, one guy served in my house over it. Right? That's not anything what's happening to do with Lance McCullers. You know, MLB security being involved is not something you want to play with. You do not want to have an issue where those FBI and intelligence officers will find you and knock on your door and say, what are you doing? It's a sad state of the game and of sports in general if we feel a performance in a sporting event that little kids deserve to be threatened. That's disgusting. I feel for Lance. I feel for, you know, for his family, for his wife, and, you know, for anybody that's been impacted, certainly his children. But, you know, as you look forward, hopefully you find more ways to put Lance in positions of success to help him build some comfort back, and he can swallow his pride a little bit and not go back into rotation because, while it doesn't justify, it'll certainly help the situation and the ball club if he's in the right role.
We'll see what they do with Lance McCullers. Jeremy Booth, our Astros front office insider, with us on the HRNP guest line. So now the Astros go from taking 2-3 against a good Kansas City Royals team in the playoffs last year to a four-game series as part of the rivalry series against the Texas Rangers in Arlington. Texas is 0.001 percentage points behind the Astros in the American League West. Both the Astros and Rangers trail the Mariners in first place by one game. The Rangers, though, have won.
We have to talk about that. We really have to bring that up.
Why?
You and me both. Mariners in first place.
They're scoring runs this year. They've got 201 runs this season, which is, like, shocking, honestly. I mean, it's top five runs in the American League at this point. So, Mariners in first. But they're 3-7 their last 10. The Rangers have won their last five. When you look at the Rangers, this was the preseason darling of a lot of people that were making preseason predictions. What are you expecting out of the Rangers, I guess, big picture this season? Do you feel like if you were to compare rosters that they have more than what the Astros currently have?
You know, I thought they were neck and neck. I did think going into the season the Rangers were a better club. I just did. Now, with Donnie Ecker, who is an excellent coach, it was just time to move on. I'm not a fan of that move from Donnie's perspective, but it's just time to move on. And Brett Boone's a different type of guy. It's a little bit of a let's go swing it. Yeah, Brett was a student in the game. He's a Bloodlines guy. You know, his grandfather, his father, obviously his brother Aaron, and his younger brother played a little bit too. So a baseball family. When it comes to what he can do with how he's going to inject some life into that offense, that's how they're gonna win games, right? And if they're out slugging clubs, for me, the Rangers have a chance to get into pretty deep into the postseason. The Astros, I think, can paralyze themselves, and you don't know what club's gonna show up every night. The Rangers are getting ahead of them with allowing their players to play with a little more freedom. And again, that's a philosophy thing. And so if I put them neck and neck on paper, it's gonna depend on what club shows up. But I'm given philosophically, from the staff standpoint, I've been around Boach and been around Booney and listening to the stuff with Joe. I'm going to give the Rangers the edge at this moment in time. That does not mean that the Astros can't turn around and lighten up a little bit, lighten up, put some guys in the right spots and lighten up, continue some momentum. The Astros have some good things going right now. They're starting to figure some things out, but the Rangers are in the same place. And so today, as we said on May 15th, I believe, I'm giving Texas the edge this weekend. I don't know that's the same in 6 weeks.
An oft-debated topic of late, Jeremy Booth, our Houston Astros front office insider here at ESPN Houston. A lot of people have been wondering, given that now all of a sudden Cam Smith is not getting every single day at bats, and that Zach DiCenzo was also a guy who made the opening day roster for the Astros and has been actually doing all right when he has been given an opportunity. They are wondering if it was a mistake to put Cam Smith on the opening day roster. He hasn't been bad. I feel like he's had his moments to open up to this point. But, of course, the consistency definitely not there. Would you expect it from a rookie? You had very measured expectations for Cam Smith. But do you think it was a mistake to give him a shot opening day going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I said that before the year. I said, you know, there's no reason I'm bringing a guy with 30 games of minor league experience to the big leagues. That is, to use the term again, rarefied air, man. People just don't do that. There's only a few guys in history of the game that have made that type of jump. Now, I understand when they had a great camp, and I understand we need to show some return from the Cubs trade with a fan favorite, although unsignable, fan favorite for most people, and Kyle Tucker going back to Chicago. I get it. But at the same time, you're looking at a kid who you think is going to be in your long-term plans. And bringing him to the big leagues, you better be sure. If he's not playing every day in the big league level right now because they're thinking they got a chance to contend a little bit, unfortunately, he needs to go back to Sugar Land, which is what, and maybe even Corpus, frankly. But that's where you're that's a fear. If you bring him to the big leagues without that much time and that much seasoning and he's back on the shuttle right away, if you bring a guy up to start the year that's got 30 games in the minor leagues, he better be there to stay. And you got to run him out there and you got to live with it. Otherwise, you're just hurting his confidence. So the Astros need to make me back up. The decision or the surprise of Cam Smith's performance right now to me or whether or not we should have him in the big leagues, that's baffling that we even had that concern, that we didn't know we had that concern beforehand. Now that we're here, you've got to play. And if you don't think he's got to play, then you got to get him out of the light and reset him so he doesn't lose any more development time and get him back here as soon as you possibly can. If we're going to live in the middle ground, you're going to hurt the kid and hurt the club at the same time.
Philosophical question. If you have been called up from the minors to the majors, can you ever go back and truly develop?
Yeah, it's tougher to play going backwards. But for a kid like Cam Smith, who's really in his first full year of professional baseball, it's a mental thing. You just have to get over the mental part. You know, hey, I got a taste of the big leagues. Look at it the other way. Now you started in Corpus and you had a good first month, and then you get to Sugar Land, you have a good second month, and now you're in the big leagues and you struggle in June. It's still happening in the first year. It's just happening backwards here, right? For me, he's got another week or so to fill himself out. If the Astros don't think he's going to play every day, he's going to go back and take a deep breath and start going back to re-centralizing what he needs to do and get himself back to Houston as fast as possible. He's not going to go down forever. Like, he's not gone forever. You know what I mean? You don't come to the big leagues that quick and then disappear and people forget about you. But does he need to go down now if he's not going to play? Yeah, and he's going to have to be the professional that we all think he is, that they all think he is, and that he got to the big league so quick and take that same approach down there with what he's learned and hopefully sooner rather than later show he's done with minor league pitching and belongs in right field every day.
He is Jeremy Booth. He is one of the hardest working dudes in Houston sports media covering baseball, whether it's at KHOU or just the Extra Bases podcast he does with Jason Bristol or joining us here on ESPN Houston. We appreciate you so much for joining us. And I know you're also running the Future Star Series. You can check out more information about that at futurestarseries.com. What's the latest going on with Future Star Series?
We are rocking and rolling, man. We are getting rocking toward the summer in our city of Houston with our nationals and our selection combines as we lead towards our signature events. I'm currently on location out of the country dealing with some league setup and some growth, some expansion. So it's a good time for the series, a good time for New Balance Baseball as well, and for our home city of Houston. So look forward to getting back, and I will be back in town next week and in studio next to you.
He's Jeremy Booth. Jeremy, appreciate you joining us, man. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, man.
Jeremy Booth, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter as well. And make sure you're checking out that podcast that he does with Jason Bristol over at KHOU. I'm Paul Gallant. This is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. You want to chime in, 713-780-3776 to call to text. You can also get in on X at ESPN 975, at Gallant says, at Shawnee Mabes behind the glass, the Graham at ESPN 975, or at Sports Gallant. It's the most interactive sports talk show in the history of the world. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Indeed it does. The most interactive sports talk show in town. So, yesterday was NFL schedule release day. We gave out the Houston Texans schedule a little bit earlier. You knew who they were playing already. It's just a matter of when. Four primetime games. Week two. A Monday night football game that's part of a doubleheader. September 15th, home against the Bucs. 6 p.m. kickoff time in Houston on a Monday. Good luck. 9 p.m. kickoff in Seattle against the Seahawks, October 20th. In November, right before Thanksgiving, 10-day break for the Texans around Thanksgiving, November 20th, the Texans will play the Bills. They host them at NRG Stadium. And then Sunday Night Football on December 7th, the Texans go to Kansas City again to play the Chiefs again.
It is weird that they host the Bills 2 years in a row and go to KC 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. That's just like I know that's just how it works out sometimes, but with these teams that they play, because they play both these teams because they won the division alongside the Ravens and these two teams.
It's just where the game's located is designed completely randomly.
Okay.
And I know that it's designed so that every 4 years you play all 31 other teams. Because you're going to play in each stadium. So, for example, the last time the Texans played the Seahawks, which is what led to me coming back on the air here, that was at NRG Stadium. The next one will be in Seattle. So it's basically designed that, you play every single NFC team home and away over a period of 8 years. But, from the
AFC, they just kind of do it.
Completely random. AFC, NFC.
Because you're going to get to them at some point.
Right, exactly. So sometimes it does feel kind of BS, but as far as the other big games on the schedule, I mean, the good news for the Texans is there's a lot of teams on the schedule that are not on the same caliber as I think last year. I think last year was a little bit more difficult going into it on paper. But the toughest games in no particular order, just in order of the – actually, yes, in a particular order in terms of when played, week one against the Rams, week two against the Bucs, those teams are on your level. Week five against the Ravens, they're better than you. It's on the road. You're probably going to get smoked. Right after playing the Seahawks, you play the 49ers on a short week at home. More 49er fans in attendance than Texans fans, for sure. That team is on your level. Then you play the Bills, Chiefs. I guess you could call it the Chargers if you want playoff caliber. You could call the Broncos if you want playoff caliber. I know both teams made the playoffs. I'm a little bit dubious about both of those teams, but I think this is a pretty favorable schedule for them.
Yeah.
And the AFC South, it's the worst it's ever been.
Yeah, I don't know, worst it's ever been, but it is pretty bad. And I think the schedule seems a lot easier from last year just because they trade out the NFC North was their division where even the Bears, when they played in week two, we didn't know that they're that bad.
And
that
the Vikings,
they weren't that bad.
Right, and we thought the Vikings would not be that good, and the Vikings were awesome last year.
Yes, and now they play, I think both West is the divisions that they play. They play the NFC West and the AFC
Which
West.
Which seems to be on the decline, the NFC West.
Yeah.
AFC West may be a little bit better outside of the Chiefs.
I think they're all frisky outside the Chiefs.
Raiders definitely have a pulse with Pete Carroll.
Yes,
and
same with the Broncos and with the other team that I'm forgetting right now.
The Chargers, very forgettable.
Yeah.
Very, very forgettable. All right, continuing to go through the 10-minute drill. Here are the other things that we learned on schedule release day. The Chiefs have 7 primetime games.
Oof.
8 are standalone, if you count an Eagles-Chiefs Week 2 matchup. That'll be on, I think, Fox. One of them will be on YouTube. They're going to play the Chargers to open the season in Sao Paulo, Brazil, on YouTube.
Wait, I had no idea that they're doing this.
Yes, this is a first.
So, I just can pull it up, on here,
Good
and I can
question.
Just watch it.
I don't know if it's going to be, because the Astros are playing on Apple TV on Friday. I don't know if it's going to be,
free? or if it's going to be paid.
Or if you have to have a premium subscription. I have a YouTube premium subscription because I can't deal with the commercials, but I know not everybody has those. So, yeah.
I had no idea that they're on YouTube.
Yeah, this is a first, I think.
But they're in Sao Paulo.
Also, it's going to be a rough game. Yeah.
Didn't Kelsey, I think he, like, if not broke this, like, leaked it because he was complaining about, like, he was like, I can't believe I have to go to Sao Paulo.
You know what? I didn't know that.
I think he talked about it, like, the day before the schedule came out.
Second most primetime games, guess
second most prime, Cowboys.
Yeah. Four Thursday night games. The first team in NFL history with that many.
I guess one of them is Thanksgiving
and one of the Chiefs.
And one of them's normally the week after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they usually give them that because they'll also have another Thursday night game generally over the course of the year, so they do it the week afterwards. Yeah.
But that's not like a good thing to play that many Thursdays.
No.
Right? I guess one of them's to open the season, right?
Yeah. One of them to open the season.
So they get one to open the season and one on normal rest after Thanksgiving.
And they probably have another one too, and I bet that'll be around the bye
week. Bye week.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're not getting totally screwed like that sounds like, but that is still pretty interesting scheduling quirk, but also not surprising that they play all the time.
From the 737, the YouTube game, by the way, will be free. That's nice.
Oh, okay.
Primetime games. 5. The Eagles have 5.
Deserved.
The Lions have 5.
Deserved.
Commanders have 5.
All right.
Bills have 5.
Okay.
All those make sense.
Yeah, those are all earned. I have some reservations about the Commanders. They, you know, could have a little bit of 2024 Texanitis.
Yeah.
But everyone else, that's completely makes sense with the quarterbacks and the teams they have.
49ers 5.
That has a potential to be a tough watch.
Chargers 5.
Don't love that.
Falcons 5.
Is there a different Falcons team that I don't know?
Michael Penix.
Is Michael Vick back?
Maybe they think Michael Penix is Michael Vick. That's racist, NFL.
Yeah, they're both lefties.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing they have in common.
Lefties don't
name.
All look the same.
Yeah.
Dolphins with 5. That one's ridiculous.
Are there a bunch of teams with 0? Because that feels like a lot of teams with 5.
There are 3 teams with 0. Can you guess them? One of them doesn't have a quarterback right now.
Saints.
That's one.
Browns also don't have a quarterback.
Both of them don't have. So that's 2. And one has a rookie quarterback.
Rookie quarterback. Giants?
Titans.
No, it's Giants. Oh, okay. Yeah. Giants.
Can't have New York.
Yeah, that was a terrible guess.
Right. 4 primetime games. Ravens should be more.
They should have a Falcons primetime game.
Bengals, 4. We'll see. Joe Burrow. Steelers have 4. Get a quarterback.
Yeah, that's a lot of Steelers, you know, the logo doing the talking.
Exactly. Broncos, same kind of deal, where logo's doing a lot of the talking. They made the playoffs.
They're good enough. And we're now at the part where it's like 4 isn't like offensively high.
Packers.
Okay, I get that. Surprised aren't at 5. No. That's crazy.
Vikings.
Okay, that's a little...
A little bit of a reach.
Yeah.
Bucks. That's a reach. Bucks don't have that many fans.
That's crazy.
With Baker Mayfield under center.
And they're not going to be that... Like, they're going to be good.
They're not great.
Yeah, they're not going to be... 11 wins.
They won't be an embarrassment, though. Like, every single time they're on, you're like, okay, this should
be a
good game. Assuming they're healthy. The Rams also, and the Seahawks. I don't like either of those ones. The Rams, at the very least, it's McVay, it's Stafford. I get it. Seahawks, I do not. I think the Seahawks are going to stink with Darnold. I really do.
Yeah, I think that they're definitely going to below 500 before that.
3 games. Giants, Raiders, Patriots, Bears.
Giants, Raiders, Patriots, Bears. So this is all teams that would have 5 if they were good, but all these teams missed the playoffs last year, so we can't give them 5.
I think so, yeah.
Because they're all big fan-based teams
that
just won 7 games last year.
2 Jets, thank God. We had too much Jets last year. 2 Cardinals as well. 1 game, Colts, Jaguars, Panthers. Damn. The South gets disrespected. Panthers.
Yeah. That is tough. And then the Saints and Titans got 0. So that's half the 2 divisions right there.
Right. That's rough. 5 Monday Night Football doubleheaders. the 15th, the Texans are in both of them, or two of the five. The 15th, the Bucs at the Texans, and then it's Chargers at Raiders. The 29th, it's Jets at Dolphins, then Bengals at Broncos. 13th, it's Bills at Falcons and Bears at Commanders. And the 20th, it's Bucs at Lions and Texans at Seahawks. The last one, they don't know. TBD. We have no clue.
Is it week 18?
Yeah, or 17, actually. Because it's Monday night. So it'll be the last Monday
night.
Oh,
yeah, it'll be week 17 then.
Yeah. Everyone's wondering who has the best schedule release. I think it's got to go to the Indianapolis Colts because they had to delete it and they sent out an apology.
Yeah, too hot for TV.
To Tyreek Hill and to Microsoft, because I guess that they used a little bit too much Minecraft there. But in this video, they depicted Tyreek Hill as a dolphin who was arrested by the Coast Guard. It dubbed Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray a chicken jockey, which was their caption for the post. For those who like Minecraft, I don't know why that was a big deal, but people, like teenage boys, were screaming that in movie theaters while that happened. I don't know why. I know that the loading screen for my Roku, if it goes to a screensaver mode, there's a chicken jockey running across it. Chicken jockey does sound like a slur, the more you think about it.
That, when you said they called Kyler Murray a chicken jockey, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
It showed Patrick Mahomes as a frog that jumps into a boxing ring to stop a fight between Patrick Mahomes and John Rocker. It also featured Will Levis getting hit by a bus. The bus was filled with a Nashville bachelorette party that was puking all over the party bus.
That's funny.
The Colts video was actually funny, and people still can find it because the internet, nothing ever dies.
Yeah, they can delete it, but everyone can save it. So.
And they apologize. Whoever did that for the Colts, that person's really good at what they do. It actually was pretty funny. The Jaguars also? Okay, the Jaguars' regular schedule release tame. The Jaguars' home schedule release by their own TikTok, I'm surprised this is still up, just features clips of Sabrina Carpenter, the blonde, pint-sized pop star, doing the movements that are lewd.
Yeah.
That she often does at her concert. Some find it sexual, what she does. Definitely not kid-friendly. You're posting this on TikTok, which is the kids app?
I know.
You're sexing up the Jaguars? I mean, it's better than posting that old broad that goes, we're going to steal the show. That old leathery broad. And I was in Miami with my new beach house.
That is a good pivot for the Jags to go, like, word association away from that lady.
Yeah.
To Sabrina Carpenter.
Right. I mean, I would love to associate the Jaguars with Sabrina Carpenter if I were a Jaguar.
I wish she was in the Texans video.
I do, too. So there you go, guys. That's the 10-minute drill. The NFL schedule. It has been released. We knew what was going to happen. We just didn't know the order. Now we do. Make your travel plans accordingly. Up next, it really looks like the Rockets are going to be bringing this guy in this offseason. Who? You'll find out next. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let me tell you about my friends at RiseHealth.com. You want to rise up, rise up. You want to rise up. Listen, there's no need to be embarrassed anymore. When things aren't working the way that you want them to. You know what I'm talking about. It's not fun. But guess what? We all get older. And now we have the power to stop age from slowing us down. If you're looking to recapture the spark of the old bedroom, you should take a look at RiseHealth.com. Why not? Go to the website. 5-minute consultation with a board-certified physician. They're going to ask you some questions. You answer those questions. Guess what? You're going to get an incredible product that's going to help you get back in the game. It's called the Rise Max, the Rise Reds Max to be specific. It's a rapid enhanced dissolving strip combining sildenafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin for superior sexual performance. Boing! It's not a pill. You don't have to chew it. You don't need any water. It works in 5 minutes. It dissolves in seconds. You take it out of the discreet packaging that looks like a condom wrapper. Put it underneath your tongue. You're going to be ready to go in moments. It doesn't melt. Doesn't get crushed in your pocket. It works on a full stomach, and you can do this without anybody knowing. Rise Reds Max at risehealth.com. Enter promo code 975. You'll get 20% off your first order. That's, again, promo code 975 at risehealth, R-I-I-Z-E, health.com. Rise up, you'll rise up with risehealth.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Astros took down the Royals last night to win 2 of 3 against Kansas City. They're 2 games above 500, 4-game series in Arlington. Starting tonight, we'll see how they do. Texas has been on a roll. They've won 5 straight games. We'll be talking a lot about Astros Rangers in the 2 o'clock hour. But we're still wondering what the Houston Rockets are going to do next this offseason. If you are paying attention to what Las Vegas is predicting, per the odds, the Houston Rockets are the favorites to land Giannis Antetokounmpo. Per Bovada, the Rockets are the favorites at plus 200. The San Antonio Spurs, who seem to have more assets, are at plus 300. Nets plus 550. Raptors plus 550. Heat and Thunder plus 900. Cavs, Mavs, Pelicans plus 1,000. Everyone else on the board, highly unlikely. The Lakers, the longest odds listed at plus 2,500. That would be annoying, wouldn't it? LeBron, Giannis, Luka. I don't know how it would work. But why is it that the Rockets have the number one odds to land Giannis Antetokounmpo via a trade when first in the interviews you heard with Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka at the end of the year, it does seem like the Rockets are open to rolling the same thing back that they had this past season into the 2025-2026 year. And on top of that, since the Spurs got the second overall pick in this year's draft, they clearly have more capital than the Rockets, who in this year's draft ended up with the 10th pick from the Phoenix Suns. So what gives? It could be this. On ESPN, and I don't know what this guy's name is, Sean, off the top of my head. It's not labeled in the clip that I saw online, but an NBA draft expert said that he's 99.9% sure that the Spurs will make a selection with pick number 2.
Dylan Harper is going to be the number 2 pick in the draft. I am 99.9% sure about it. He looked also really, really good, tested very well, shot it well. His body is in a great place. He's lost 15 pounds in the last years. He's also grown. He has measurements comparable to those of Dwayne Wade coming out of college. The San Antonio Spurs are signaling to teams that they are very excited about the opportunity to draft Dylan Harper. They are not pursuing trades from what we're hearing. They think that they can play Dylan Harper together with Steph Castle and De'Aaron Fox in the same backcourt.
6'6", 215 pounds, played at Rutgers, was third team all Big Ten and Big Ten all freshman team this year. And I guess he was, as a high schooler, the McDonald's All-American Game co-MVP and the Morgan Wooten National Player of the Year in high school. I had honestly never heard of this guy, and I'll admit I'm a casual follower of college basketball, but they really like Dylan Harper, or are they perhaps trying to drive down the price for Giannis Antetokounmpo? I suppose that we will see, but this guy seems 100% certain, 99.9%, that the Spurs will take Dylan Harper second overall. So they're not going to move that pick. That definitely helps the Houston Rockets out if they want to go and get Giannis Antetokounmpo. And a lot of NBA pundits keep on drawing ties between Giannis and the Houston Rockets. First, here's regular ESPN contributor and basketball media pundit Frank Isola talking about how Giannis and the Rockets make a lot of sense.
Something tells me whatever ship he's on, it only goes to L.A., New York, or Miami. But don't discount Houston. Houston, to me, makes a lot of sense. Well, you get him. They have the assets. You get him out of the Eastern Conference. I mean, you're the Milwaukee Bucks. You're trading him to the Knicks? The Brooklyn Nets?
No, Knicks don't have any assets. No.
Yeah. Right. Well, I've just been in terms of... Well, you trade them to Houston, they have the assets. And Houston always does this. They got Clyde. They got Charles Barkley, Scottie Pippen. They got James Harden. They always go out and get a player like that. Ime Udoka. Where's Ime Udoka's family from? Nigeria. Where's Giannis' family from before they came to went to Greece? Nigeria. Who's the greatest player in... Well, one of the greatest players in Rockets history. Hakeem Olajuwon, probably the greatest.
Yeah.
Nigerian. That's all?
I mean, you got information, or are you just piecing it together?
Right here.
Using your noodles.
Oh, right up here.
He's pointing to his head as he said that. So interesting, because he mentions the places that everyone wants to go to, at least we're told, whenever they start thinking about asking for a trade. But then he thinks that Houston makes the most sense, and, you know, to go a little bit further with that Giannis Hakeem Olajuwon connection. I mean, the two have worked together during the offseason. He has been down here working with Hakeem before. So as far as where he might want to go, that certainly makes it seem like this is a place that would be high on his list. And obviously they were the 2 seed in the West this past season, showed a lot of fight, play physical, young core to grow around him, potentially help him get that next title. And then there's more. Here's another basketball reporter. This is Mark J. Spears, suggesting Giannis Antetokounmpo for the usual suspects, the Spurs, yes, but also the Houston Rockets.
You know, even before Tatum's injury in the first round, there was an NBA executive from another team that told me that he expected major change with the Celtics no matter what happened this season. And I certainly expect such to be the case when you have a payroll where you have 5 players making at least $28 million or more, 2 superstars that are making $50 million or more. And I'll tell you what, the 2 teams I'm keeping an eye on for a couple of these guys, perhaps, is one is the Houston Rockets. Why? Ime Udoka's there. They've been certainly rumored to wanting to upgrade their roster, and he knows these guys, and they probably would be attracted to returning to play with him. And then another team is the San Antonio Spurs as well. They got the number 2 pick, and I'm told that the Spurs are quite happy with the talent that's available at number 2, but they're going to explore potentially trades as well.
So Spears is making it seem like they're looking at trades potentially, but that other draft expert who was on ESPN?
Jonathan Givony.
Jonathan Givony, okay. Sorry.
It's tough because his brand is like Draft Express, which is the website that he used to run.
They didn't have a graphic for him on that video clip that they posted.
So it's taken him quite a few years to go from, hey, that's Draft Express. Like, he's just a Draft Express guy.
He's Draft Express, okay. Yeah. But Spears is suggesting that the Spurs are perhaps looking at that number 2 pick and shopping it around. He says it's 99.9%, though, Draft Express guy, that Dylan Harper, Jonathan Givony, will go to the San Antonio Spurs. So we'll see what happens. And as a couple of people are asking on the Twitch, how long will this be a topic? This is probably going to be a topic every single day if we get new tea leaves about a potential addition of a star. We're going to talk about it. Here's the thing with the NBA offseason. Low-key, conversationally, it's better this time of year. It is. The regular season, how much stock do you put into it? A 2 seed goes down in round 1, 7 games. Where the offseason, you got a young team, and you're looking to add players. Offseason NBA talk, I don't know why it rates the way that it does, but it rates. And if you do not think that we are shills and or hers and or sluts for the ratings, you got another thing coming. Bam, bam. Another thing coming.
Yeah. It's either this or more
Texans schedule talk.
Texans schedule talk.
Texans
so,
OTA talk. Yeah. Texans minicamp talk. Texans pre-training camp talk.
Yeah.
Texans training camp talk. Texans preseason talk. Listen.
Choice is yours.
But there's also something else we could talk about.
No. No. What? Oh, other teams schedule talk.
No.
Jags
no, no.
schedule talk.
No, Sean. The war is back on. Roll up your sleeves. Get out your brass knuckle. And get your giant pepper shaker. Because the war on I-45 is back tonight. Astros, Rangers. You ready for this? You ready for war? I'm going to get you hyped up for Astros, Rangers like it's the actual playoffs. Next, stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Houston, this is Jeremy Booth, MLB front office insider for the Paul Gallant Show, here to tell you about the preeminent amateur series, the Future Stars Series. It's a key focus of the draft calendar and is regarded as a unifier in the scouting industry. Many alums from the Future Stars Series have been drafted or signed, and so far they've tallied up over $300 million in signing bonuses. To find out more about the Future Stars Series, go to FutureStarsSeries.com.